friends, I'm DJ Lance Rock, and I have to say, Rock and Roll Grad School is awesome!
This is Rock and Roll Grad School with your hosts, Heidi Hedquist and Luke Poling. When do they get to sing My Way?
I'm going to, I think, begin with the biggest softball I can come up with and just lob it right over the plate for you. Why write a book about Earth Day? I told you it was a softball.
Yes, yes. Well, first of all, we are so lucky and so fortunate and so blessed to be on planet Earth. That's the first thing. It's a fantastic, spectacular planet. And every day when the sun rises and gives us heat and warmth, and we have these beautiful trees, I'm a total tree appreciator, and beautiful oceans and bodies of water and flowers. I like, especially springtime hyacinths. Oh my gosh, I could go on about nature. I am someone, me and both my mom is Linda Miller, I'm Sherry Miller. We both adore and love kids. We love planet Earth. We love nature. And what better way to celebrate planet Earth than to teach, empower, and inspire the young ones who are going to be leading the troops, you know, and with future generations? Why not inspire them to appreciate and love and honor our planet and think of and receive solutions? That's the core intention of the book. There are things that could always be improved. That's just human evolution, the universe's evolution. But why not turn our attention quickly to solutions and inspire and empower? And adults too, inspire all of us to just focus on how can we improve and appreciate what we do have, this gorgeous, spectacular planet.
Well, that's one thing I loved about the book is I think for all of us, at least for me, it feels so daunting, right? It's so doom and gloom. Like we've really messed this up. What are we going to do? It seems like there's no way to, what are we going to do? But it very much just says, okay, just hold on, just think. What are like, these are little things, like little things that can make a big difference, right? These are things that we can do every day. What are things that we can do ourselves? And every little bit helps. Every little bit that we ourselves, that you at your elementary school can do, that you can do in your own kitchen, that you can do in your own backyard, that you can do in your own place, that can every, we all have a part we can play, and it, we don't, we can do one little bite at a time. And I think that's a really big deal. And putting it in a way kids can understand, then parents will think and grandparents will go, oh, okay, the kiddos are on board. I can do it too. And all right. And it helped. That's huge.
Yes, exactly. A million, trillion, zillion percent. I agree. That's the message of the book. You can do it. We can do it. We have the power to create change. We have that. It's in our hands. We are the seeds of change. You nailed it.
Well, you nailed it. You guys
all
nailed
right,
it.
Well, thanks for coming on. We're done.
You guys nailed it. You put the book. I just read it. I got it. I understood.
God, I'm so proud. I'm so proud of this book. I just think this book is magnificent and feels great and it's inspiring. And I think it's a spectacular book. Everything about it, the illustrations with the superhero kids and the light bulbs and smiling natures and smiling rainbows and smiling trees. And I mean, every last detail
you did. It's great. And it is, I think also, even in kids' books, sometimes it can be positioned scary because it's scary and taking more the positive side of maybe scare tactics aren't necessarily always the way to go. Like let's focus on the fun, positive things and reminding us of, yes, these are the animals who need new homes, but let's focus on the positive of finding the animals new home or things we can do to celebrate those animals, not that they're dying on melting icebergs, but the good things. And I do think part of the problem is global warming is terrible branding, because we all instantly think that, oh, the Earth's getting warm, that's great, I'll get a better tan, you know? And I think it for years has sent the wrong message. We don't realize the Earth getting warmer is not really a great thing.
I agree. First of all, I don't believe in fear tactics. I think that the news media, not all, but some of the news media has capitalized and trained on that fear sells and sells advertising. And like, it's a blip. What's going wrong with our planet is like 0.00000001%, I believe, in comparison to what's working, what is going well. I mean, the earth is so powerful and so resilient and has, I'm not a scientist, but I will say, from what I understand, it's been around for a long time. I don't know how many trillions, billions of years. It knows how to rebalance itself. That's not to say it's important. I do believe it's, of course, it's important to be conscious and aware and make conscious choices out of love and feeling good and appreciation to honor and celebrate the earth. That's what the message of the book is. Be conscious, be aware, know that every choice you're making, even if you're not deliberately making a choice, it is still a choice. And what are your choices? It's kind of, it brings it back to you. Like the earth will, I believe the earth will be fine. It will, the universe will go on. Forever, it's eternity. But how can we enjoy and celebrate and honor our choices, which link in with appreciating the earth? So it kind of like it elevates and uplifts us to make these choices. So it's really a book about appreciation also, and uplifting our own selves, our own souls, our own spirits, and enjoying it. There's a lot of joy in this book, and that was my mom's intention. That's my intention, to uplift and inspire with creativity and with messages and I believe one last thing, Heidi, I think if you can inspire and empower with positive messages, that, I mean, I feel like the results will, if we're talking outcomes and results and processes, I think that will create far greater change than trying to motivate people out of fear. They're totally different ends of the spectrum. And I don't think fear works. I think what ultimately it doesn't work. It's, I think I, my honest core wish is one day, I know that we can't control anyone outside of ourselves, but my wish is that one day with evolution, and maybe the next generation and the next generation of kids are part of this, that all these news programs will focus on what is working, on the solutions, not using fear as a tactic. You realize that advertisers love positivity and feeling good and solutions, and you can sell space and money can come from positive messages. I think it is going in that direction more and more. I just think maybe, I don't know how long it'll take, another few decades or a few hundred years, or I don't know, another millennium, but we're headed there.
A lot of people know your work through the music and your songwriting. Do you also write prose? Is this your first time kind of sitting down, putting together this book? Or is this something you've always kind of just done on your own and kind of just haven't shared it with the rest of us yet?
So I am an artist and a songwriter and a composer and a poet. I mean, that's my career, my
business card. Yeah.
Yes. And it's also like everyone has gifts. Everyone, even if you're listening now and you say, you have gifts. Everyone is born with gifts. My gifts have always been, since I was 8 years old, it has always been artistry and composing songs on the piano and guitar. For me, that's always been, I've been a messenger. That's always who I've been and I am. That's who I am. I take great, great joy and pleasure out of performing the songs that I've received. I call it receiving and composing and I try to get out of my own way and just be an open circuit and channel and surrender and say, okay, Sherry Miller, you have your human perspective. And that's like 1% of what is available to you with all of those that have come before and all the brilliance you can receive that is not your own. If you can just get out of your own way and let all of your human beliefs and your human ideas and your human experiences, maybe that can funnel through, but just get out of your own way. So essentially, to answer your question, Luke, this is a bigger conversation.
No problem. We're here.
My intention in any creativity is I want to feel good first. I want to be excited about the process. Because if I am feeling crappy that day, my intention is just to feel better. I don't even want to attempt to write. I can tell you there have been countless times I have sat down and tried to force myself to write because I said I would when I wasn't feeling good. And I always throw the songs and all that away. It never works. I never keep it ultimately. I think it's important to be in a high frequency and a high vibration first. So my first core is to be in that kind of receptive mode of soft, easy, sometimes passionate and excited too, but just in a really feeling good place. And then receiving and being an open circuit and channel and getting out of your own way and having no judgment and being kind of love, being love, allowing love. That's where all the brilliance and the genius comes from. For all the masters that have come before, they've tapped into it and anyone can. No one is super privileged. It's not like, oh, you have the privilege to tap into genius and source energy. Everyone can. It's just having the tools to allow yourself to be that open circuit. That's what I believe. And it's kind of a bigger collective consciousness conversation. But back to your question, great question. I mean, creativity has no bounds. Songs are just a thing that I think I was just sort of hatched that way. Like I receive songs and I love to perform them. And that's just my thing. I've always done it. It's kind of like breathing air in and out for me. And poetry too. I've always written poetry. My mom, Linda Miller, who's also, collaborated on this book with me and is part of this book, also super gifted artist and writer and teacher. She was an opera singer, songwriter, piano, classical piano player, kids teacher, poet. In the book, when you open it up, there is a poem it kicks off the whole book called Living Jade that she had written, which is just such, honestly, perfect. I think I don't even believe in perfection. I believe in excellence. Magnificent poem about leaves and trees and them being gems and jade. It's called Living Jade. And no, to me, it's like a romantic transcendental poem that she received or wrote or whatever you want to call it. It's short. It's not fancy words. It's just simply gorgeous. And it kicks off the whole book. So yes, I mean, I feel like there's no end to creativity. I feel like I want to have fun with it. I just enjoy the creative process. It's the best part. I mean, there's nothing. I love, Luke and Heidi, I love when you finish writing a song that you've allowed to flow like a river through you. And that feeling of, yes, that feeling, there's nothing better in life to me than finishing a song after you've been an open circuit to allow it in. That's like my favorite thing pretty much on the planet. And yeah, so I would say like, yes, that's my favorite, but yeah, I mean, I just love letting the river flow, the creative river flow, any medium.
And as you're saying this, I keep thinking of the idea of automatic writing, of sort of just opening yourself up and letting whatever come out. And then later going back to it and kind of figuring out, what am I trying to say? Where am I going? Is that how you look at it? Because it sounds like your approach is sort of, you just dip your hand into that river and pull out something and see what it turns into.
Yeah. I mean, I would say,
and I would also note, sorry, all of this stuff is so, all of the examples and allegories, they're all rooted in nature and very, you know, it's not computer based. It's nature based. It's, you know, the environment based, which is kind of an interesting thing, especially given the topic for the book.
Yes. I mean, the book Honoring Our Planet Think is, it is April Earth Month and Earth Day is April 22nd, but we can be celebrating and honoring our planet, I believe, every day. I think it's when you wake up every morning, it's kind of like, thank you. Thank you, Earth, for keeping me, for gravity, for keeping me on this planet. Thank you, Sun, for rising every morning and having warmth that gives us a temperature to live in and solar power and a myriad of other things. And thank you, wind and rain and clean water that we have. And thank you, healthy food and the seeds that keep regenerating and giving us a food supply. So, I mean, I believe it's every day that could be Earth Day. in connection with that. I mean, and you'll see when you, if you, with all your readers, if you have the pleasure and the opportunity to, whether you're reading the ebook of it, which I'm so proud of, I love the ebook, or the hardcover and the softcover. Can I show you the visual of it?
Please, yes, we love show and tell.
Yes. Show and tell's our favorite.
There we go.
Oh, it looks so good.
I cried when I got the cover. The cover is, I think, just fantastic.
Yes, the cover's awesome.
So if you're listening on audio, it's a smiling Earth. My mom used to draw nature, Earths, and kids and nature with these huge happy smiles and these two eyes, two dots for eyes, and we took those images and we created this smiling Earth, and around it are standing all these superhero kids that have glowing crowns and superhero environmental crests that we created on their garments and shirts. And I mean, it was intentionally, deliberately created. If you look carefully, like, you'll see there's electricity, there's solar, there's wind, there's infinity symbol, there's heart, love. I mean, there's all different, I mean, this could literally be on TV as an animated cartoon now that I think about it. It's so carefully crafted. Mm-hmm. And I just, and it's, so you see the Earth, you see these kids, superhero kids standing around the Earth. It's in outer space, and you see rocket ships and shooting stars. And the back cover is before the kids become superheroes. These are plainclothes kids with light bulbs who receive solutions. So if you can see that.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and so within the book, you know, you have kids, it's, you know, it's us everyday humans, and then they receive the solutions and they become these superhero glowing kids who receive the solutions. That's the metamorphosis or the hero's journey of the book. And may I read the back cover?
We carefully
please. Yes.
Just, okay. Gosh, I feel like we're doing a little bit of story time here.
No, I love it.
No, we'll sit there. It's great. Get us some apple slices. We're set.
No, like cookies. What are you talking about? Apple slices.
Come on.
Come on now. Don't be hasty.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Okay. The back says, "We honor and celebrate our magnificent planet Earth with great love by making conscious choices and happily appreciating our natural resources. Let's discover inspired solutions, opening a world of fun, exciting possibilities. You have the power and the gift to create positive change within yourself and the world. You can do it."
Love
there it,
it
is. Okay,
love
so
it,
that's
love it.
That's let me tell you, that was so fun to create. And boy, like every word. So on the back cover, you have like all these light bulbs around the kids, and then you have this one big light bulb up top. And there was only so much space. So boy, did we have to carefully craft every word to fit in the light bulb. So boy, it was a wonderful, boy and girl, it was a wonderful exercise on on editing and measuring every word. I mean, this book was joyful in the feeling of the book and the words and the message of the book, and everything was super deliberate and intentioned, and every last detail to this, the polar bear wearing sunglasses. Did you see that? Let me show you really fast. If you're a podcast listener, I'll just speak it out. So you see on the glaciers, do you see it?
Yeah.
The polar bear with the,
yes.
Yeah. And we did put the Hawaiian shirt on him too. We weren't sure that would, you know,
it's a hat on a hat. I mean, yeah.
You know.
I gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so many things. I mean, just so many things in this book that just light my light bulb. Yeah, there's a lot of light bulbs in the book. I could go on.
No, I love it. The light bulbs are good.
And you sense that, I think that comes through in the book. That certainly, you know, this passion of yours, it feels like you jumped out of bed every morning to get back to working on this, that this was just like this is so great. This is so much fun. This is like getting to do this is this great treat for you.
I'm comedian David Race in Los Angeles. I host a celebrity-filled paranormal talk show like no other. Monstrosity has great guests answering weird questions. You won't believe the combo of celebrities and paranormal experts who've been on this show. I guarantee you'll like Monstrosity, or you get your time back. Go to monstrositypodcast.com right now and take a look.
Yeah, I mean, I adore kids. I love, gosh, what I love so much about kids, and many adults have this too, but I think it's for many kids, and this book is probably for, like, if you have kids aged, I would say 3 or 4 to about 9 or 10, this is the perfect age group for kids, but really it could be for anyone. I mean, I love how kids are, I won't even say innocent, because I don't even think this is an innocent thing, but they know they can be, do, and have anything. And they have this optimism that's inherent with them. And they are just so tuned to having fun and not being responsible and not trying hard and not doing things that they're supposed to necessarily do, unless it's fun. So that's what I love about kids. It's almost like as an adult now, I am retraining myself to be like a child again. And be unsocialized again. All the, you know, you have to work hard and you have to do what everyone expects you to do. And I'm almost, the kids are our teachers, I believe. I think nature is our teachers. Animals are our teachers. Kids are our teachers. They're just pure in, if you, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, source energy, love, a higher consciousness. They're connected to that. Maybe we're all connected to that, but it's just, maybe it's a more powerful instinct in them because it hasn't been trained out. So I adore kids. I just love creative projects that are also centered on kids. I mean, as a songwriter and artist, boy, I've written my share of, highly emotional, raw, moody stuff. But where I'm at now in my evolution as an artist and songwriter is I just love inspiring and uplifting and you know, sharing wisdom from a higher vantage point of knowledge, perhaps. I don't know, whatever you want to call it, a higher frequency. So my intentions have changed. I don't know. I don't think there's anything wrong with anything. I think everything is right. I just feel more drawn and magnetically attracted to things that feel good and empowering and sharing wisdom in an uplifting format, because those are the songs I'm going to want to sing on stage and talk about and on interviews like this, you know, with you and Luke and Heidi. So.
And it just seems, as you're saying this, I keep thinking this idea when you're talking about kind of kids and what they do and don't know. And it's sort of that idea of the power of yes, or this idea of just kids sort of being more programmed to go like, yeah, let's do that. Let's try this. And adults sort of have that, you said, trained, you know, we always talk about with various things like, well, it's easier to say no than yes to anything. And it's sort of like trying to undo that natural instinct that you kind of learn is to say no to something, or like, that's not going to work. That's not practical. It's getting to that, getting people to yes, getting people to sort of say like, yes, these small things will help, and we're all working towards a common goal, and that maybe kids are just much more, no one's told them no yet in a way. And so they're a little more malleable and open to this idea, as you know, like any nutty idea they'd go with, be it hot air balloons or whatever, but like they're open to saying yes to stuff. And most adults aren't, I think.
Yes. Yes. Not maybe. Yes. And it doesn't have to be that way, but, and yes. I think the power of yes. Yes, that feels good though. If something doesn't feel right to you in your body, it's almost like it's not a thinking thing. It's a feeling thing. It's tuning emotions, tuning into your inner ding. There's a great spiritual teacher who is a mentor and an inspiration to me. Her name is Louise Hay. She started Hay House. I'm sure a lot of your listeners would know, like, Heidi, you know, of course.
I do. Yeah.
And she always talked about an inner ding, and it's something you can't think. It's something you feel. And another way of saying it is, there's a great author named Alan Cohen. He said, if it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no. So you have to really feel it. And that's what I love about kids. Luke, you nailed it. I love what you just said in this book. That is like the feeling of this book. Let me just show you. So the last here, this says it. Our conscious, I'm reading out the second to last page in the book, which I love, with the rainbows and the family and the solar panels. Oh my God. Okay. And the singing birds. I love it. Okay. Our conscious decisions to honor and love planet Earth are a gift to our children, grandchildren, and future generations. You can do it if you can see it. Yeah. So
and you could just write hell yeah on the bottom of that. Second edition.
Maybe put an S. Then it's swearing. Hell's yes, much more
appropriate. Hell's yes. I think that would probably take out the age group of.
I agree to disagree. You know,
but I agree. No, that would be amazing.
Right.
Thank you for celebrating and appreciating our planet Earth. Exactly. So I feel like also maybe like I'll pose this question to your wonderful listeners, to you, Luke, to Heidi, to myself. I'm going to pose it to myself. What would you do? How would you live if failing wasn't an option? I haven't made up this thought, by the way. It's been said by millions of great thinkers before, but oftentimes we will shoot ourselves in the foot before we even let the momentum build of the idea that we say, oh, but it's too hard, or, oh, but I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too, I look like this, or I don't look enough like that, or, or whatever I'm too to this or not enough this. When you're the truth is you're as you are, you can do it. You can do it. If it's a desire that is for your highest good, for the highest good of all, it's possible. Of course it's possible. Of course it already exists on some other plane, so to speak, energetically. So what would you do if it was a yes, and if you believed that you could do it? What would you do? What would you try? What would you, if you tuned out every naysayer and everyone in your life who maybe has different expectations of you, how would you live? What would you do? What would you want? What would you allow yourself to dream? How would you dream? How big would you dream?
Hey, Bar and Grill fans, it's Jim with Madhouse Bar Talk, where me and my co-hosts sit around and talk about the things going on around Madhouse Bar and Grill in Elyria, Ohio. The whole conversation is unscripted, uncensored, and unedited. Anywhere where you stream podcasts, just remember, Madhouse Bar Talks, baby.
It's such an interesting question. And you know, you said, oh, people have said it before, but it bears repeating.
Yeah, it never gets old because no one's ever quite fully answered it, right? They might have, but.
And it's changing because with your own human evolution, your dreams are evolving and they're not static. Your dreams are expanding all the time. So, I mean, it's something I'm asking myself more. If I had no limits to how big I could dream, what would I allow myself to dream? And that's also the message of the book, you know? You know, and it's for adults. It's for the parents too, you know, and for the teenagers too. What solutions would you allow in? What would you allow yourself to dream and be and have? If you can do it, what would you do? How would you think? What would you imagine for yourself?
Yeah. And it's so interesting too, putting it in a children's book, doing it in this way. It's like you said, for adults, like it cuts out all of the excess noise, all of the extra verbiage, or it's just like, here it is in, I was going to say black and white, but obviously in full color.
Yes.
But like, just it's so simple and it's so complicated in the best way possible for both of those. And it's just really, really wonderful. And I think I need you to like every morning just call me for like 30 seconds and just give me like this is going to be the best Tuesday ever.
Yes.
And here's why. And you can do this. Like everyone needs that, that urging, that motivation, that kind of, you know, a little bit that kick. And this book is, you know, talking with you again, one is reminded of your enthusiasm and your passion and your love for the stuff you're doing. And I think that comes through on every page of this. And it's very, very evident. And if we could bottle this, or you could just call me, whichever is easier, doesn't matter. I think all of us could do a lot worse than having that sort of that passion and that dream.
Yeah. Thank you. That's so kind. I mean, and back to the book, that's another message of the book, diversity mm-hmm. and kindness. And I want to share a quote my mom had in a minute, but remind me if I get off track, because I do want to share that quote. But I just want to say thank you so much, Luke. That's so beautiful. And thank you. And I would say to you and to Heidi and to myself and to all of your listeners and watchers on YouTube or wherever you post it, that's a gift you can give yourself every morning. You can, and before you go to bed, because that's also a really powerful time, right? Before you go to sleep and marinate for the next, you know, 5 to 8 hours plus in your subconscious or whatever's going on there. And when you first wake up in the morning, before your momentum of your day has started, you can talk to yourself. I do. I have all these, I have this inner conversation self-talk that is so positive. I tell myself, you know, how I want to feel during the day. You can tell yourself, I'm having the best Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Monday, you know, day ever. I am going to feel clear. I am clear today. I feel good today. Wonderful things happened to me today. I feel harmonious today. I am proud of myself today. It could be 1,000 things. It could literally be, I'm peaceful today. I tune to solutions today. It could be, I am joyful today. I am successful today. Everyone I encounter today has my best interests at heart. Just affirmations, really. And it doesn't have to be big ones you don't believe. It could be just small ones. It could be, you know, I'm having a good day. I'm clear today. I'm feeling good today. Or even, I want to feel good today. If you don't, you know, whatever you believe, whatever feels good to you. And like, and there's no right one way for affirmations. I think you have to do what you believe and what feels good to you. And it also depends on the day. Some days you feel better than other days, and you have to kind of gauge your, how you feel and your emotions that day. But let me tell you, when you do those, when you start making a habit of talking to yourself in encouraging ways, and always saying nice things to yourself and being kind to yourself, it creates a new habit and a new momentum. And though I'm not a neuroscientist, I can tell you the momentum builds and you start creating new patterns and pathways in your brain and in the universe, I think, that attract different things out of yourself and others. It's just like magic, even though it's not magic, because you're doing the work. You're talking to yourself. And everyone external is just an actor and actress in your own game. So it starts with you. It really starts with you. So it's up to you to talk to yourself nicely and encouragingly.
But if you could put it in those terms, it wouldn't kill. Anyway.
Okay. Now you're just being weird.
No, I'm getting greedy. I know.
Yeah.
But you were saying the quote from your mother that you wanted to share.
Oh my God. Thank you. Yes. I'm going to read it. Thank you so much. Because it's so important, because, okay, intentions for this book are, of course, you know, appreciation, huge, which I would love to talk more about, because I think that's the secret to life. Maybe that's something, if you could remind me about appreciation after that. Mm-hmm. My mom and my both of our core intentions with this book were to celebrate our planet and put love out there when there's a lot of, as you were saying, negative talk about climate change. Yeah. Being part of the positive momentum, flipping it, even if this book resonates with one person and creates positive momentum with one person, it's creating a wave of change. That's the, you know, one person who's connected to solutions is so powerful. So of course, appreciation, honoring our planet, empowering kids and adults to remember how powerful we are, the power is within us, and kindness and diversity, celebrating diversity, because diversity makes us stronger. We believe in diversity, and conformity is so boring. You know, who wants
intentions?
So, okay. So kindness also is a huge intention of the book. My mom had a quote. I'm going to read it because I want to make sure I quote her perfectly or excellently or accurately, maybe accurately. She said, it is not how rich you are or how famous you are that matters. What is most important is how kind you are. What is most important is how kind you are. So I would say I agree. Kind to yourself, kind to others. Mm-hmm. Kindness. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, kindness. Yes. Yes. So that's another core intention about the book. And can I share about appreciation? Like,
please. Of course. Yes.
Okay. Because I you have fantastic questions. I want to make sure we have space for all of it.
Oh, this is perfect. Yeah, You're answering and nope, that you just go.
Okay, go. Okay. So I believe if you were Luke and Heidi to ask me, what do you think the secret of life is? I think there are a few. But one I have found that I had heard about, but I find in my daily life experience, this is the magic secret to life, and it's appreciation. It's appreciating what's working in your life. The blessing, it's like counting your blessings. Some people call it gratitude. I call it appreciation. So every day, like there's all different ways to build that habit up. And this book is all about that, appreciating our planet, appreciating the trees, appreciating how collectively, when we are focused on solutions, we are even more powerful, perhaps, than one person focused on solutions. The power of, and just tapping into the appreciation of the fact that all these wonderful ideas exist in the universe, and the appreciation for the trees and the water and, you know, and all this, the smiling nature in this book. But how to make it really, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Logical, applicable in your life. That this is what I do. If you want to know what I do, if you have to do that, I find my day goes 1,000,000,000,000,000,000 times better than when I do this than when I don't do it. So I do it every day, no matter what, even if it's just in my mind. Even though writing down is a greater, more powerful point of focus. Mm-hmm. So every morning when I wake up, I do have a meditation practice. That's another conversation. After I do that, I make a list of 5 subjects of things or people or animals or whatever it may be that I appreciate. I look for the best of them. So I am literally deliberately looking not for things that I could complain about, but instead I'm focusing on the blessings and the positive aspects and what I appreciate about these 5 subjects. So it takes about 10 to 15 minutes. And I feel like it tunes your thought pattern, your frequency, your vibration, whatever you want to call it, to your soul, your inner being, to the greater part of you, the wisdom in you. And you're just going to rendezvous and activate within yourself the best of those subjects and the best in yourself. So, and also like with people in my life, I want to look for the best in them and appreciate them and tell them often how much I appreciate them, or at least think it. And love and appreciation are identical emotions or vibrations and frequencies. It's really pure. It's really pure to speak in, I appreciate you. And also the word appreciation means to get more of. So when you focus on what is working in your life and activate that within yourself and appreciate those things, the universe will be like, oh, you like that? Here's more of that. So it's that's how it works. And when you say, I don't like that, or no, the universe says, oh, that's what you think, you can get more of that. It's impersonal. It's just what you're focused on. So I believe appreciation really is, it's so easy to do. And if you are in a bad mood and you have, you know, some negative momentum going, you might need to slow that down first and take a nap or to get a night's sleep, perhaps, or meditate, or, you know,
all of the above. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Or pivot to go in the opposite direction of what you do want. I do believe though, if you can get a habit going of daily appreciation, and, you know, if you have a life partner, you know, a mate, husband, a wife, whatever it may be, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or even a friend, whoever it may be, a dog, a cat, whoever it may be, if you can play, there's something that I think is such a brilliant idea. I didn't make this up. This idea came from Gabby Bernstein, who a lot of the ideas I'm talking about are from a lot of spiritual teachers, from Louise Hay to Abraham Hicks to Wayne Dyer to, I mean, I can go on. There have just been so many collectively great spiritual teachers, past, present, future. But this next idea came from Gabby Bernstein. I don't know if, I think she created this idea. It's called the appreciation game. And with you and your part, whoever the person is, the recipient, you would say to them, well, I appreciate you for being so funny, or whatever you would say to them. And they would say back to you something they appreciate about you. Well, I appreciate you for making really great omelets in the morning, you know, and I appreciate you for being so considerate and thoughtful. And I appreciate you for your brilliance about choosing the best hiking trails, or, you know, whatever it would be, like back and forth. And that creates an energy and allows a momentum to flow. And it's fun. And it's just, it can start your day or end your day in the most magnificent place and create even the most enhance any relationship to the most magnificent pinnacles of greatness. So that's another tool, not so secret anymore, but tool that I think is so amazing, helpful.
Yeah. Brilliant. It's what makes the world go round.
Right.
In some
Yeah, for sure.
If you do it.
Right.
Yes.
You have to do it. And you have to mean it.
Same thing with Earth Day and exactly. All the work on the earth.
Yes.
It's yeah. All, you got to mean it. You got to do it. And
yes.
Great start things will somewhere. Come from that. Yeah.
And just start. Doesn't have to be perfect. Just start.
Exactly. And Heidi and Luke, I think you're so right. If you give a compliment or you do this appreciation game, you have to really feel it and mean it. I'm watching myself. Sometimes I want to compliment everyone and see the best in everyone, but if I'm not really feeling it, I'd rather not say it.
Right.
I'd rather just let it go. And I really want to mean what I say and what I think more than ever. Yeah. Sometimes we try too hard. I'm learning for myself.
Yeah.
So authenticity, you know, and
yeah.
Yeah.
Just like, maybe we're not going to play the game. We'll just, because maybe I can only think of one thing. So I'm like, hey, I appreciate how good you look in that hat. And I'll see you later. Not you. I actually was not thinking of you. I appreciate you for a lot of things. I didn't even realize you had your hat on. I appreciate you for, I could actually play the game with you because I appreciate you for everything you've done today.
I appreciate both of you for everything you've done and who you are today. Yeah. My gosh, it's mutual for sure.
Yes.
Well, Sherry, thank you so much for your time again.
So awesome. It was congratulations so wonderful to on see the
you book.
Again.
And yeah, it's just,
that's amazing.
It's all stuff that bears repeating. So it's great to have it in such an easily, you know, in the best way, simplified, forthright way to put it all out for folks. So and congratulations
and
on
adorable
that.
Adorable and just, it's sweet and lovely. Yeah.
Right now, I promise to love you to the depths of my heart.
Honoring Our Planet, Think by Linda Miller is available from Newman Springs Publishing right now. Wherever you get your books, it's available in hardcover, paperback, and Kindle.
You can check us out on all the various socials. Be sure to visit our website at rockandrollgradschool.com. And don't forget to leave us a review.
Today's show is produced by myself and Heidi Hedquist. Our reluctant producers are John Sauvé and Sandy Stone. Our willing producers are Rachel Allen and Randy Jeanette. Our intern is Zach Jackson. This one's for Philippe. Thank you, good night, and may all your favorite bands stay together.